Indeed it is. We made it through another weekend, and we are happy to be here with you on this Monday, November 6th, and we are so thankful that you are here with us. I am Damian Barling, joined by the icon, Jason Ross, and our producer, Chris Verlade. Fantastic weekend of football, both in college. It was crazy, but not in the crazy way we thought it might be. Not as many upsets as we were predicting, or at least as I was predicting, but I still think that crazy college football weekend is coming. We'll talk about that, but there's going to be some big shakeups there, particularly in the top seven or eight or so. There's news coming in right now from the NFL. Jameis Winston, who sucks, is awful, and the Bucks suck, and they're awful. They're shutting Jameis Winston down for a few weeks. We'll get into that. Sacramento Kings played on Saturday. As you heard Chris mention there, they're going to attempt to break their seven-game losing streak tomorrow. So, spoiler alert, if you didn't know what happened on Saturday, Chris ruined it for everybody. It did not go well in Detroit. We will get to that. Best and worst of the weekend. I owe Jason a big thank you for the best. We'll talk about that. But we'll start with, I guess, a win is a win. They all don't have to be pretty. And the Raiders got one last night in Miami, and it couldn't have been much uglier. And there was definitely seeds of doubt as to whether they were going to be able to pull off that game or not. But they did in Miami, and they're back back on track a little bit, and it helps. Denver lost, Jason, as did Kansas City.
Yeah, it ended up being a good weekend for the Raiders, but a needed weekend. They had to have it any way, shape, or form. Whatever the end of the result was yesterday, they had to be 1 point better. And that's what had to happen. And I agree. I think the game did feel a little bit ugly, marred by penalties, some onside, and a late pick, and all those different things that happened. But inside of it, actually, I think there were some good things from the Raiders. Carr played much better. Marshawn Lynch ran better. Cook was good. I mean, they weren't perfect by any means. I mean, there were some things that need to be fixed. But I feel like today, Damian, we would be talking about a season that's over if they didn't win. And it's not over. And, sometimes you just need one win. I don't know. The last time they won a game, it didn't carry any momentum. But now you've won two of three, and you can't have any more losing streaks. You can maybe lose another game in here. I don't know if you can lose two, but you stop the bleeding. You get a win. You come home. There's some tough games coming up. Or you have a bye, excuse me. But I think they can find some positives, certainly with what Cook did, with what Carr did, and certainly with what Lynch did.
Okay, I got a question.
Uh-oh.
If I cut it off right there, do you just not feel right? If I cut it off right there, it's like you're just waiting.
Yeah.
You're waiting for it to finish. Is that fair?
Yeah.
And it's just driving you nuts that you haven't heard the...
What's next?
It was good to see that from Marshawn, who had two touchdowns yesterday to the tune of 57 yards, 14 carries. If you want to jump in and be a part of the conversation, you know we'd love to hear from you. As always, the show only functions because of you. 44-11-40 on the text line. Of course, phone lines are readily available for you as we get moving here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
Now, there's more goods than bads because you win, but Jay Cutler was comfortable. 300 plus, three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Too comfortable, right?
Yes.
So,
with an opportunity to win late, by the way.
Yeah. So, you know, again, you'd rather win. Teaching points can be made in a loss or in a win. But when you desperately need a win, you get a win on the road. And, there's some things to fix. Because even coming into the game, I think everybody, all the analysts that were on Football Night in America were picking the Dolphins because of the Raiders' question marks in the back half of their defense. The Dolphins' strength is their receiving game, even by dealing Ajayi. And they Cutler was good. It was comfortable, I should say.
I feel like they have a great – I feel like they have the perfect running back in their two running backs. Damian Williams was catching passes out of the backfield, and then Drake was running the ball pretty well. Mm-hmm. By no means is either one of them a complete back, but Damian Williams did a lot of good as Drake did. That was 311 yards for Jay Cutler, and I kind of had that sense too, right? We talked to Nate Lundy on Thursday and we all chuckled, and he was, if you're really desperate for a quarterback, the Raiders secondary is bad. They're down a couple of starters. You could put Jay Cutler in there. He very well may have a big performance, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he damn near had a good enough performance to win.
Yeah. And, every time I feel like Miami is like in such a terrible spot, even with the loss, aren't they 4-4?
They are 4-4.
And it just feels like there's had so much gone wrong. They've had some bad losses, bad performances, injuries. They're 4-4.
At 4-4, can you think of one positive thing that has been said about the Miami Dolphins this year?
No.
That's, again, four. Even when they win, we're looking at them like, how did they win this game?
Right.
I think they won. I think Jay Cutler threw a late fourth quarter touchdown one, and they won like 10-7 or something like that. And you're looking at this like, this feels so dirty. Like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Like it's wrong.
But there they are.
But there they are.
Yeah.
No one said Jay Cutler had to care for the Dolphins to win. But the other thing is that's a really competitive division with,
yes,
obviously, the Patriots still sitting atop there. It looked a little different before Buffalo lost on Thursday night. But still got Buffalo that, you know, New York has at least three more wins than anyone expected. They're mm-hmm. sitting at 4-5. We expected them to be in the Browns 49ers category, and they very much are not. I don't know which one of those two teams is worse. We'll talk about your San Francisco 49ers a little bit later, and we will give you a very good reason why Jimmy Garoppolo should not play for the San Francisco 49ers anytime soon.
I want to hear that one.
I think when you hear it, I know you just think, put Jimmy out there, make it happen. I think when you hear these numbers, you might understand. The number one and number two overall picks of the 2016 NFL draft combined yesterday for 500 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Their teams combined for 102 points, each scoring 51. They have a combined record of 14-3 for the Philadelphia Eagles. No team has ever gone 8-1 and failed to make the playoffs. The last Eagles team to be 8-1. Lost to the Patriots in Super Bowl 39. Carson Wentz leads the NFL with 23 touchdowns. As for the Los Angeles Rams, they scored 40-plus points 3 times this season. They had scored 40-plus points only 2 times in the previous 10 seasons combined. The last time they scored 40-plus points 3 times in the same season was in 2001. Guess what they did that year? They went to the Super Bowl. Jared Goff is only the fourth quarterback with a 300-plus yard, 4 touchdown, 0 interception game this season, joining, you might know these guys, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and your favorite, Alex Smith. The Rams scored an NFL-worst 224 points in 16 games last season under your boy, Jeff Fisher. This year, through 8 games, they've scored 263, which only trails, wait for it, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. And what the lesson here, well, two things about the actual games yesterday. Both were favored. Both needed to just take care of business, and they did. There was no doubter with the Giants and the Rams game, and certainly none at all with Philadelphia and Denver. And then, you know, I think there's something to be said about getting a guy in the mix last year. Goff, I thought, struggled by far more than Wentz did. But an offseason of growth and improvement, a different coaching staff, adding a few more weapons, Gurley running the ball well, and that offense looks great. And then Wentz, to me, when I watch him, he just looks like he's 100% in control of whatever's happening. Like the system where he decides to throw the ball, that when I know that they'll say, hey, sometimes it just clicks and you get it. He looks like he's figured it out. Like the NFL, not that – you know, he'll be perfect all the time, but just he's, I think, understood all the defenses and the looks and makes the right throws. His deep throws are just incredible. He throws a nice pass. Those two guys have found it. And I remember we kind of mocked at both of them trading up last year, going, wow, those are kind of big moves for quarterbacks that some are saying were, I don't know, in the teens maybe where they should be ranked. And well, to jump up and to get him 1-2?
Carson Wentz was, well, we just don't know much about this guy. He played at a small school. Like, what are we doing here? In regards to Jared Goff, Jason, what we're seeing this year from him feels to me like it just puts a stamp on Jeff Fisher's not a good coach.
Yeah.
They portrayed him as an absolute idiot last year in that Hard Knocks thing, which is going to come up again when we do our best and worst, but they portrayed him just – they wouldn't put him out there on the field. They portrayed him as a dummy. They finally put him out there. They can't score points. Jeff Fisher is totally incapable of running a fluent offense, and They get him out of there, and now he's top four quarterback in the league behind the guy who was drafted right after him, behind Tom Brady, behind Russell Wilson. It's amazing to me.
And what a turnaround. In year two.
It's just 1 year.
Yeah, so then you just get excited about where else can he go, what else can happen, what else can they do. And offensively, I just would have never thought the Rams could be that dynamic. We knew they had Gurley coming in, but just the receiving core, like, well, what else do they have? What are their weapons going to be? Maybe they can win some games with their defense. Instead, it's been their offense by far.
They're supposed to be a sophomore slump.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be, oh, they're starting to figure you out, or, oh, they're starting to do this, or they're starting to do that. Like, there's not – these guys are surging. I think Carson Wentz having – I don't want to underplay coaching in either of these scenarios. Doug Peterson is an Andy Reid guy, and I think a lot of that is showing in his ability to work with Carson Wentz. And Sean McVay is doing a hell of a job of running an offense that really, really worked. Todd Gurley last year. Non-existent, completely non-existent. Todd Gurley this year, back to one of the best running backs in the league, man. Coaching in the NFL matters. That's why there's a day called Black Monday, the first Monday after the regular season ends. It's because coaching matters, and there's going to be some vacancies next year, I can tell you that.
For sure.
The first one that I'm thinking of is in New York. A couple of texts here, a lot of texts here. Text Nation active this morning, love that. You can get at us, 44-1140. Wentz looks like Derek Carr of last year, and look at Carr this year. I would hold off stock on Wentz. No chance. Remember, Carson Wentz last year was just getting familiar with the NFL, and oh, by the way, he wasn't bad. He wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination. Now, this year, he's great, and in my eyes, is the MVP, the leading MVP candidate. And Derek Carr, I don't think, is that bad this year. And also remember, which is just a forgotten talking point, is Derek Carr, I do believe, is still playing with an injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've noted this a million times, particularly in the world of basketball. Back injuries don't just heal. You don't just get better. He didn't just get better. I don't care if he was practicing 3 or 4 days later. He didn't just magically get better. He's still dealing with that day-to-day, game-to-game. Week to week, but what Carson? I'm not holding off on Carson Wentz at all. I'm buying stock right now, and I'll keep it.
Yeah, and I would say the same about Carr too, in the sense that quarterbacks and any player, just if you look at the span of their entire career, there's usually a year or two that the numbers are just lower. I don't feel like it's anything that is a regression from Carr. I think it's a little bit of a collective for the overall Raiders outlook compared. And last year was spectacular, so we're measuring it off of last year's season, and this could be one of Wentz's best years. But it doesn't mean that next year's going to be a complete, drop-off for him at all. But he just, like I said, it looks like he's comfortable. The weapons, he's utilizing them all. And they've got so much confidence. And that was a Denver team that, if anything, Denver will slow you down.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do it at all.
Denver's got a whole lot of issues.
Yes, they do.
And I think it all starts – this is not a hot take, so I'm sorry. It starts with the quarterback. And I think the defense is looking at this I realize I'm a bit of a jerk sometimes. So if I was Von Miller, if I was the defense, I would be looking at it like, dude, you're literally telling us week after week after week, you have to go win these games. Like, you have to hold every team we play, even a dynamic offense like the Philadelphia Eagles, a dynamic offense like, if they play the Rams, a dynamic offense like whoever. Oh, we've got to hold them to, like, 10 to have, like, we're 13 at the most to opportunity to win these games.
It's too much to ask.
And, like, our defense peaked a few years ago. We're still a good defense. We're a Hall of Fame elite defense a couple of years ago, but you're asking us to hold on to that like we're the 84 and 85 Bears. That's not fair to them.
Yeah.
And they're getting. Were we the only ones who knew the Brock Osweiler thing wasn't going to work? Did Denver really not know this wasn't going
to
work?
Yeah, I was trying to think of that in their mind. Like, okay, you always think of things in the best case scenario. What was the best case scenario there?
John Elway comes out of retirement, pads up as much as he can.
Yeah, and leads him to a close game.
At least.
They gave up 51 points. And he got a bunch of the yards and stats late. They were out of that game early.
And so now the conversation is, man, I hope Paxton Lynch is ready.
Yeah, now they're trying to ramp him up and push him forward.
So
Osweiler wasn't ready or wasn't what they really wanted.
So that's the guy, huh? That's the guy who didn't win the starting job from Trevor effing Siemian to start the season. Paxton Lynch is now the guy who's going to win a suddenly struggling AFC West.
Yeah.
The team, you know, Jason, there could be three teams from the AFC West that get into the playoffs.
I thought there would have been.
Well, that was a conversation that we had.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening.
No.
That is absolutely not happening. In fact, it's going to be one.
Likely.
It's going to be one. It's going to be the winner.
If you get the Raiders to 9 or 10 wins, or someone else to 9 or 10 wins with the winner, I'm assuming going to be the Chiefs, but that's an assumption. You could get two.
The Chiefs, and we'll get to the Chiefs and Cowboys here in just a couple of minutes. The Chiefs do deserve some extra points for the potato sack race.
You like that one?
I thought the potato sack race ranked right behind. I mean, it was neck and neck between potato sack race and hide and seek.
How about, was it Minnesota a while back that did duck, duck, goose?
Minnesota did duck, duck, goose. Yeah, there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in some of these celebrations. Yeah. But
back to the kids' games. I
thought they were going to race. I was like, oh, okay, this is fun. Then they started hopping, and I'm like, oh, it's a potato sack race. Yeah. And then the two guys follow. I thought it was great.
Yeah. It's clever.
But I'm sure that, yeah.
You enjoyed that.
I did.
During your Cowboy game.
I did.
Yeah. Well, you enjoyed the result for sure.
In hindsight, it's significantly easier to enjoy. We'll turn to our resident Bronco fan here, Gordon. Gordon, how you holding up, buddy?
Oh, man, that was a gut punch, buddy.
Yeah, you've had a season full of gut punches.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much the quarterback as much as the coaching staff. What's that?
No, no, we're listening, man.
I don't think Vance Joseph and Bill Musgrave is the right combination. There's no chemistry going on. I'm excited for next weekend because I'm going back to Denver to watch the Pats game for my first time. So I'm optimistic still. You know, win, lose, or tie. But I got to put this on the coaching staff.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you, Gordon. I mean, I know this hurts for you. You're a Broncos fan, and I'm sure 99% of the people listening right now don't care.
Yeah.
Raider Nation out there is feeling good probably for the first time in a while. So they got to win, and now they got to bye.
Yes.
And then they got Mexico City.
Yeah, big
with
one.
The New England Patriots.
Yep. But I think this was important to get to the bye with a win.
Mm-hmm.
The way it played out yesterday was a good day collectively for the Raiders amongst the division. The Chargers didn't lose either, but they didn't play. But Broncos are going the wrong way. Chiefs, I still think, are really good. That was a tough game for them. But you do have to realize, okay, now that's three losses here in the last couple of weeks. So
you have three out of four.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost three out of four. Alex Smith threw his first interception yesterday. Kareem Hunt hasn't scored a touchdown in a while. Six games, I think it is.
He didn't get very many carries. That's what, you know, I know you talk a lot about Ezekiel. When they lose, they forget about him. I thought the Chiefs kind of forgot about Kareem Hunt. And obviously there's a plan, but it seemed like they forgot about what was the NFL's leading rusher.
Chris was making fun of me because I tweeted out the ratio of pass to runs yesterday at halftime, saying if they stick with this ratio, they're going to lose. The Cowboys are going to lose. They didn't. They almost exactly flipped those ratios around and almost doubled up the number of runs to pass attempts, and they went on to win.
Yeah, but Dak's also playing really well.
He looks really good. That's last year felt like this is Ezekiel Elliott's team, and he is the one leading them to the incredible record that they had. This year, it feels like it's Dak Prescott's team. And we're going to find if Ezekiel Elliott, if come Thursday, when Zeke and his representatives and the NFLPA go into a courtroom for, I think, the fourth time, if he's suspended and he winds up missing six games or he winds up missing any games this year, we're going to find out how much of this team belongs to Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Dak is playing incredible. I think the second best QBR – or no, the first. He has the best QBR in the entire league. He has incredible control of that offense. I don't think second-year players have control. I wonder how much influence he has in play calling. I understand the Cowboys would have had a comfortable lead if it wasn't for that ridiculous Tyreek Hill play at the end of the quarter. Yes. But the fact is they didn't, or at the end of the half, excuse me. But the fact is they didn't. When they came back, they started Zeke. And it was only Zeke. There was no Alfred Morris. There was no Alfred Morris, I think, until the fourth quarter. Give the ball to Zeke. Just pound it, pound it, pound it, pound it. Oh, little pass to Terrence Williams.
He had a good knee. He had some good runs after the catch.
Terrence Williams had a fantastic day. Hey, now, Raiders are only two games out of that last wild card. Pretty sure it belongs to Jacksonville right now. You don't trust them, do you? Actually, I do. I do trust them. And next year, when they sign Kirk Cousins, which is what I think they should do, I don't know how many competent quarterbacks are going to be on the market. I assume Kirk Cousins is. I think Jacksonville is going to be very dangerous, and they'll be the class of that division by far.
I can see that, especially if they do that part of it offensively.
Andrew Luck's going to be playing his way back, and Andrew Luck's roster is still going to stink. We speculated how good would Jacksonville's defense be this week because they've had incredible weeks with like 10 sacks. They're leading the league in all of these major categories. They had another really good defensive game.
Yeah, that's their strength. That's what they're built on.
Of course it is because Blake Bortles is the quarterback.
Yeah.
How could it not be? Mentioned the 49ers went 0-9. Shocker. Stadium pictures are getting tweeted out again.
It's pretty light. And it wasn't, in defense of that, for whatever needs any kind of defending. Wasn't that exciting of a team they were playing? Mm-hmm. Arizona, who, by the way, aren't they also like 4-4? Or 5-5?
Yeah, how is that?
I'm like, they've just found a way to get enough wins somewhere, somehow, and I don't like watching them play. But it's not going to get any better in the short term for the 49ers.
It's just patchwork, I feel like, with Arizona and Miami.
Yeah.
They just managed to get through it. Your boy, Adrian Peterson, carried the ball like 33 times yesterday.
Yeah, which was his most ever, which that was what surprised me.
He's 32.
Yeah. Which might have been 36. Whatever it was.
Was it 36? Good Lord, man.
That he'd ever carried and went, really?
Or he's 36 years old.
One of the two. I think the same number. Whatever his age is with the amount of carries, I think.
Yeah, he was.
Close enough.
It was like, oh, okay. Like, wow, we're doing this.
Yeah.
2017 with AD, huh? That's his nickname, right? All day. Mentioned Cowboys getting the win against the Chiefs. We'll touch on that. And how about that fourth quarter comeback by Russell Wilson? That was topped by that fourth quarter comeback from Kirk Cousins. That game was not fun, but it had a hell of an ending. We'll continue here on this Monday on the Lowdown. I love Tony Romo's reaction to that. That's obviously the CBS radio call there. Welcome back into the Lowdown. We were talking about the Tyreek Hill play, and there it was.
Yeah, it was weird. I love that when they showed the first image of, I think there were four defensive backs in the end zone, another four layered, like about the 5 or 10, and then three guys rushing. And I think Jim Nantz, I told you earlier, I was watching that, and Jim Nantz says, well, Alex Smith is putting that interception streak in jeopardy. And I thought, you know what? One, I don't think he can throw it that far. And two, it just might not even be that smart of a play. I bet he just throws something short, for one, to not ruin the interception streak, but to get more yards and, just a better way to end the half and see if they try anything kind of tricky. And he sure enough throws that little pass over the middle. And then that was so weird that he just kind of sprinted, stalled, danced, and got around everybody and really wasn't touched.
Nope. Sure wasn't. Just everybody's like just hanging out. Like, oh, we'll get, now you get him. Now you get him. Now you get it. Y'all don't mind me. I'm just going to go in the end zone and we're going to get 7 here before we go to halftime.
I know those plays are not practiced probably that much, but did you see the Hail Mary that Russell Wilson had to in the end of their game?
Yeah.
I mean, Graham and the other receiver had their hands on the football with 5 Redskins around and really nobody bothering them. And, like, that is kind of misplayed, I think, a lot.
I'd argue Doug Baldwin takes one more step to the back of the end zone before jumping.
He catches
that ball.
Untouched.
It's just a challenge jump ball. That's all, Hail Marys, you think of the whole roster being in there scrumming around each other. He takes one more step towards the back of the end zone. He jumps up. I think he catches that ball cleanly. Or Jimmy Graham does. One of them do.
I've always wondered why defensive backs, and maybe it's easier said than done, but everybody seems to try to catch the ball. Could get in there, just like hit it back behind you. Hit it out of there. Not tip it. Like just swat at it. Completely get it away from anybody in the field of play, especially if you can tap it backwards, like out of play.
You mean like Vlade did on that rebound where he slapped it to
I guess in this version would be out of bounds, but yeah. Vlade made the right play, by the way.
Sure he did.
He did.
Okay. We're going to hold on to that forever, that he made the right play?
Yeah.
Instead of just grabbing the ball?
Well, I don't know that he could have grabbed it.
Can we pull up a replay of 2002, please? You know what I think the fear is we're making that joke about Vlade. I think a lot of people can't bat it down. You have to be above. Who screams it? Is it? I'm sure it's Gruden. Somebody's all, knock it down, knock it down. You have to be above it. You have to be above the ball to knock it down. Otherwise, you're knocking it back. You're knocking it to the side.
Said backwards, like behind you. Like, you know, I know it could still maybe have some weird ricochet, but if you're trying to hit it back towards the field of play, that's where some chaos can happen. If you hit it backwards where everybody is in almost about 8 to 9 yards deep in the end zone.
I understand the line of thinking, but I feel like if you can get your hands on the ball, if you grab it.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you're I feel like you have to be in a certain position to be able to, like, properly deflect the ball in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think in those situations it's always easy. Like, when you look at, like, Aaron Rodgers, like, he completes Hail Marys like they're pass routes.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they just fall into guys' arms. And it has nothing to do with it being deflected up or it's a defensive back. Or sometimes in those cases, wide receivers trying to catch the ball, it just lands in the perfect spot. And like I said, if Doug Baldwin takes one more step, I think that ball is in the perfect spot for him. But he had to jump so high and get that ball. It kind of it was just too high for him to get from that spot. He takes one step back. And now I'm sure he takes one step back. The defender's with him. He's challenged with it, but – That was Aaron Rodgers-esque close.
Yes,
on that final play of that game.
And rushing three leaves 8 defenders for 5 people, but I don't know. Maybe rushing 4 sometimes. Maybe makes it. I don't know. Hey, there's no perfect way to do it. And even what Kansas City did, I had never seen that either. So no, they're just going to check down and get 30 yards and add some stats. That's fine. Instead, he navigated his way through everybody untouched.
You heard the CBS call. Here's the Kansas City call. I think that's when broadcasters could cuss.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what?
And if you didn't see it, like if you were listening on the radio, that'd be a really hard one to understand. Like,
oh, yeah. There's no...
It's a hard one to paint that picture.
I don't think they're even trying to paint the picture because they're just waiting for the tackled at the 10, tackled at the 5.
Oh, it's got to the 8-yard line. Big deal.
Yeah, they're just waiting for that, and it never comes. Nope. So they never paint the picture because all you're trying to do is get to the end of the half.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure if, you know, particularly the radio call, we played the CBS call first in which you don't have to paint the picture because it's in front of you. But with the radio call, I'm sure if you say, okay, the end result is them getting in the end zone, they would have called that entire just – totally different.
Yes.
Because hearing it, it's like, okay, wait, what happened? He got from the 20 to the end zone?
And nobody touched him?
Is that possible?
Because it wasn't your standard catch over the shoulder. You're sprinting to the – it was – everybody was in front of him, but he just kind of got around everybody.
Nothing cracks me up more than when a runner in the open, like, stops, like, slows down, and then the defender stops with them.
Yeah.
Like, the runner has to think because I got to navigate all of this to get to the end zone. What thinking does the defensive back or what thinking
him,
does
tackle him.
That's it.
Slow him down.
You got
somewhere.
One job.
Yeah.
Knock him down.
Yeah.
Take him out.
And even if you can't force him away, I didn't tackle him, but Damien, you can. Or mm-hmm. You know, you've got to. But you can't have what happened. I mean, where nobody touched him.
Ezekiel Elliott had a big second half of that game. They ran the ball a lot. Even Dak got in on the act, running a touchdown in. But Ezekiel Elliott again just. Carry after carry after carry, really over the last 3 weeks, which, by the way, coincidentally, I'm sure, the Cowboys have won the last 3 games. I think he's carried the ball an average of 31 and a half times in those 3 wins. He had 93 yards yesterday. We mentioned the big day Terrence Williams had 9 targets, 9 receptions. Dak had 249 yards. Terrence Williams had 141 of those yards. Dez Bryant added 73, tweaked his ankle there kind of towards the end, but all reports out of Dallas is that he'll be okay moving forward.
That's good. I mean, they're getting into better form, looking better, looking good all the way through. I thought their defense was pretty strong too in the game. I know it's going to, we were talking more about Dak and Ezekiel and even what Beasley did, but just, I thought their defense was strong. They did a nice job. And they did officially pick off Alex Smith. Alex hadn't thrown a pick. Thought he might at the end of the half. Instead, he threw it in the second half.
I wonder how worried the Chiefs are right now.
Well, it got a little cushion, but I think probably more of what Andy Reid is hoping for is that they just start playing better, more consistently, more what they were doing. And I think they need to look at, like I said earlier, I mean, they were relying on the good balance between what Kareem Hunt was doing, Alex Smith. Like, they ran Tyreek Hill a couple times yesterday as opposed to having that being Kareem Hunt. I don't know, it felt like the Cowboys had the ball more too to me, but still, when they did have the ball, I didn't really get a good sense of the rhythm of their offense.
Hey, Chris, when you get a chance, can you pull up what Deion Sanders said? Apparently, Deion got a little bit hurt by Tony Romo made a remark about Marcus Peters, that Marcus Peters is tackling like Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders did not take kindly to that.
No, he didn't.
At all, which I was kind of surprised by. But, okay, war of words are always fun. We'll play Deion's comments for you here in just a heartbeat. We kind of alluded to Russell Wilson's fourth quarter, or we didn't allude to it. We talked about it. Kirk Cousins leads a comeback for Washington to beat Seattle at home. That game was awful. That's another one of those things where you don't mistake a good ending for a good game. That game, what was the score? Was it 7-2 or 8-2 for the longest time?
Oh, yeah.
That was terrible.
Seattle missed, what, it was 7-2 at half, 10-2 after three. Seattle missed three field goals in the game. They could have made that different, but, yeah, we had all the scoring, really, in the last 2 minutes.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in a division where Philadelphia has set the pace, Washington and Dallas have to do everything to just kind of keep their head afloat. You know, Dallas isn't, you know, Dallas is only at three losses. It felt like they were playing significantly worse, but they're sitting at 5-3. And, you know, Washington, they're right there at 4-4. If you lose Ezekiel Elliott with two games left against Philadelphia, now the Oakland game is also in there in games that'll be played without Ezekiel Elliott. It's really difficult to get a gauge where this Dallas team actually is, but no one's catching up to Philly.
No
one's catching up to Philly at all.
Yeah, and Washington, they're funny too, and I think about their schedule. If you think about a couple of their wins, they beat the Rams, they beat the Seahawks. Those are two. They beat the Raiders. Mm-hmm. I mean, three very good wins for the Washington Redskins. Their losses, both to Philly. They also lost to the Chiefs, who they could have won that game on that Monday night, and the Cowboys. So I do think Washington still is a pretty solid team. Mm-hmm. They've had a difficult schedule, and there they are halfway through at 4-4.
We'll get to the Sacramento Kings here just about 20 minutes or so. Also, your best and worst of the weekend, you can share those with us at 44-1140 or 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I told you I had very specific reasons why Jimmy Garoppolo should not play for the 0-9 49ers. We'll give those to you. Really? Come on, Deion. What's all the cackling in the background? I hate fake
support.
Laughter. There is nothing. There is nothing that drives me more crazy than fake laughter. That's so phony, man. It's like Deion thought up until we didn't play the remark there, but during the course of the Cowboys Chiefs game, Tony Romo said, "Oh, Marcus Peters, he's out there tackling like Deion Sanders." It's like Deion thought before that remark that he could tackle. Everybody knows Deion can't tackle. There are highlight reels of Deion's non-tackles. It's extraordinary. What's his feelings all hurt about? There's got to be something more there that
we don't
know. Yeah,
it sounds
about.
Like there was, because he's like, we tried to bury the hatchet before and other things. And yeah, I mean, Deion, no one doubts that you're
He's talking about Dak like Dak won a Super Bowl. Did I miss the parade?
Right.
Did the Cowboys not lose to the Packers last year, or –
Yeah, with home
Did
field.
I imagine that? Oh, okay. All right, so he lost in the divisional round, just like Tony Romo did against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just checking, man. Okay. All right, I just want to make sure I got that all right. Yeah. But his feelings seemed just incredibly hurt.
Yeah,
over
a bit much.
That I wanted to bring this to your attention as we were talking about the Seahawks a minute ago and that loss and how high I am on the Los Angeles Rams right now and what they're doing. Seahawks, December. This is their month of December. Philly, Jacksonville, Los Angeles, and Dallas.
Mm.
That's three division leaders and the Cowboys right there. That's the Seahawks schedule.
How many of those do they have at home?
Two. Ooh. Two okay. at home, two on the road. Cowboys are on the road, which doesn't really count as a road game. And I believe Jacksonville is the other
okay.
road game.
Well, they'll earn it if they get in.
Holy smokes, they will. The 49ers. Okay, the 49ers lost again to the Cardinals. Is that a story?
No.
Okay.
Quarterback is.
C.J. Beathard.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I told you. Kyle Shanahan said he wasn't sure. He'd like to work Jimmy Garoppolo in. He'd like to get Jimmy Garoppolo. He wasn't sure that he was going to be able to do it. Not this just this week, but this year. Kind of looking at that like, dude, what did you go trade for this franchise quarterback, potentially a franchise quarterback, to not let him play? Here's why. C.J. Beathard was hit 16 times by the Arizona Cardinals. 16. There were 56 design pass plays versus 14 designed run plays. Now, I understand that Carlos Hyde got tossed out, and that was their primary running back. But there were a lot of fighting.
There were tons
of fights yesterday in the NFL. There was this one between the Cards and the 49ers. But 56 pass plays versus 14 designed run plays. C.J. Beathard hit 16 times. Jay Ross, there's a problem with the 49ers offensive line. They don't have a fix for it.
Yeah.
How can you march that guy out there with the threat of him getting killed on a week-to-week basis?
Well, you have to at some point. I mean, is that all going to be repaired in the offseason?
It better be.
All of it? All the line will be fine. The running game will be fine.
Yes.
You're trying to sell season tickets next year. You're trying to validate whether or not you're going to bring him back. You've made the move. I think there'll be pressure from a lot of people to play. I would play him. I would absolutely play him.
I think it's hard not to.
Yeah.
And I understand that. Yeah. I think you got to play him too.
Got to see what he is. I'm not 100% certain we know what he is. We think good things. We always.
What do you mean? He's Tom Brady.
Well, he's not quite Tom Brady.
Are you sure?
But we always think the highest. Well, Jacoby Brissett's a good example. We had a pretty good opinion of him. He got thrown into a difficult situation. Did some good things in New England. Now he's starting and he's okay.
He's not that bad.
He's okay. Situations,
but it's not that bad and okay. Are they different?
Well, would we?
I think
he'll look okay in San Francisco, right?
Jimmy Garoppolo,
just okay, but partly because there's not a lot there.
So if Jacoby Brissett is playing great, is he on the same level as Jimmy? I mean, I'm sorry, if Jacoby Brissett is playing okay, does that mean he's on the level of Jimmy Garoppolo? Because that Indianapolis Colts roster sucks too.
Yeah,
with the exception of one wide receiver who they managed to get involved this weekend for the first time all freaking year. His name was involved in trade conversations, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, you know what? T.Y., we didn't trade you. Let's give you the ball to the tune of 175 yards
right.
this week.
Big plays. This is what he's been known for, and they finally made some.
Jacoby Brissett threw for 308.
Okay.
Two touchdowns.
That was yesterday. I mean, that's what you're going to get. You're going to have some games like that. There's been some other games where you just go, yeah, I don't know. And now he knows he's the starter the rest of the year, but I think that's what they need to do with Garoppolo.
Listen to the 49ers' remaining schedule, if you will. They got the Giants coming up this week. Mm-hmm. Then they got a bye. Then you got Seattle, Chicago, Houston, Tennessee, Jacksonville, and then the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants, they actually do have a good defense. They have a good pass rush. Why they've not rushed the pass this year is an entirely different question that we'll have to get to later. But those are some pretty good defenses that you're going to put Jimmy Garoppolo out there in front of with no protection at all.
Well, but I would also say if we pick out whoever we think is the worst defense in the NFL and Jimmy Garoppolo is playing them with a great line, all it takes is one hit anyway, right? At any week, at any time, we know that, and you could protect. So the only other reasoning I could see for waiting on Jimmy Garoppolo would be this week, one more week, then the bye week. If Jimmy Garoppolo is not ready after 3 weeks being in practice, there's something wrong.
But is it real? Are we really talking about Jimmy Garoppolo being ready? Are you buying that? Because I don't buy it. I think they're trying to protect him. I don't think it's being ready.
I just protect saving him. NFL is a brutal sport. You get injured anytime.
The Giants have one more win than the 49ers do. March him out there this week.
I'm with you. That's why I said the only way you could do it would be if you wanted to wait one more for whatever reason. But I think there's value in starting him this week, having the bye week as a full another week to get prepared, and then going the rest of the year. See what he can do. Maybe he makes – I mean, that's the thing we always wonder. Can he make what they have look better? Or is it just going to make it look as what it's looked like, where the quarterback's not going to make much of a difference?
Coming off of what we saw this past week, to me, it's funnier to think that either the 49ers or the Giants are going to win a game this weekend. Mm-hmm. I find that scenario more entertaining than the 49ers or Browns winning.
Yeah.
Because the Giants – you say this about the 49ers. They don't have the talent. They're not very good, but they don't quit. I don't believe that they quit. They certainly look like they're given – they're just not good.
Yeah.
They're trying to win. They're just not very good.
Right, they can't do it.
You would be I hate saying this because I feel like it's an indictment on these professional athletes. It sure as a hell looked like New York quit yesterday.
Yeah, it sure looked like their coach did.
It looked like they got a case of, like, the Cutlers.
Yeah.
Like it looked like a whole bunch of Jay Cutlers out there playing football. Like
they want a case of that.
Nobody wants a case of the Cutlers.
Not even a single serving.
Not even a sample size of the Cutlers.
Send
we
it back.
Will shift gears here. Best and worst of the weekend. I see a number of those coming in on the text line. You can get to us here at 44-1140. Phone lines readily available for you at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We will get into that, and we will lead our number two with your Sacramento Kings next.